Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call for Wilson Sons Limited third quarter 2016 results. With us, we have Mr. Cesar Bayon, CEO of Operations in Brazil, and Mr. Fernando Salek, CFO of Brazil, of the Brazilian subsidiary and investor relations. As a reminder, we will have simultaneous translation for those who wish to listen to the English version. All participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation, after which there will be a question-and-answer session for industry analysts. Page 2 of the presentation contains all the usual forward-looking statement disclaimers for your reference. Now I will turn the conference over to Mr. Fernando Salek, who will begin the presentation. Thank you. Welcome to our conference call results for the third quarter of 2016. Let's start with slide number 3, where I present our safety performance through the Wilson Sons Group lost time injury frequency rate from 2010 to September 2016 this year. In this period, we see that there was a decrease of 87% in the lost time injury frequency rate, which shows the commitment we have with security in our operations for employees, contractors, and other service providers. Our stated goal is to achieve a level of world-class security rate of 0.5 accidents by 2022. However, our objective actions and initiatives seek to achieve zero accidents. For this, we will continue to work with absolute focus in safety of our business and operations. Turning to slide 4, please. Here I summarize our consolidated results. Considering the offshore vessels joint venture, Wilson Sons' third quarter 2016 pro forma net revenues were $144.6 million, compared to the third quarter of 2015, total net revenues increased 3%, mainly due to improvements in the port terminals revenues, which was helped by the improvement in the full empty mix, and also by pricing and additional ancillary services. Pro forma EBITDA for the quarter was 1.6% higher than the comparative, which demonstrates the resilient results despite the continuing weak Brazilian macroeconomic scenario. Looking at the investments made during the quarter, our CAPEX was mainly concentrated in the towage and container terminal businesses, which we will discuss later in this presentation. Turning now, please, to slide 5. Here we present a quick summary of the quarterly highlights by business. Starting with terminals, the export volumes in the Rio Grande terminal were positively impacted by the exchange rate and specialized solutions for loading cargo in container to promote exports of wood and paper that were introduced by the terminal during this period. In the case of the Salvador terminal, despite the fact that volumes have been negatively impacted in the quarter by lowered international demand for products such as ores, cellulose, chemicals, and petrochemicals, we did have an increase in imports driven by the solar panels sector. As expected, in Brasco, the revenues and the EBITDA decreased against the comparative period of 2015. Revenues were negatively impacted by the operations of waste management that have been less significant in this quarter. Furthermore, both revenues and EBITDA were negatively impacted by the reduction in the number of vessel turnarounds compared to the third quarter of 2015. Moving on to logistics. In logistics, we had a revenue reduction as a result of our strategy to terminate some dedicated operations in 2015, and also due to the negative impact of lower operational volumes in 2016 due to the decrease in the import volumes. The EBITDA followed this reduction in the revenues. In towage, the number of harbor maneuvers increased in relation to the comparative as a result of improved results in some of the ports in which the company operates its tugboats. Despite the decrease in revenues due to the reduction in special operations, the EBITDA margin increased as a result of the adoption of measures to reduce costs and expenses over the past few quarters. The shipyard revenues and the EBITDA were negatively impacted by the reduced third-party shipbuilding activities. In the case of offshore support vessels, the days in operation were down, especially because vessels Mondrian and Pardella experienced off-hire periods and the PSV Prion was dry docked. The daily rates improved with the stronger average Brazilian real exchange rate, affecting the Brazilian real portion of the contract, and also by the entry of Laras, the largest PSV in the joint venture fleet, at 5,000 deadweight tons, with a daily rate in dollars above the fleet average. Moving now to slide 6. On this slide, when we look at the history of results since 2004, we see that Wilson has shown increasing EBITDA results despite some significant exchange rate variations during this period. The consistency that we present is a reflection of the resilience of our business model. It is also a reflection of diversification of our portfolio and clients and the quality of investments accomplished over the years, which have allowed us to continuously improve our operations. The CapEx reduction in recent years is evidence of the major expansion projects being completed. And it also contributes to differentiating our business in the competitive market in which we operate. In pro forma EBITDA, we highlight the importance of the container terminals, towage, and offshore vessels, which together contributed with 95% of reported business EBITDA in the 9 months of 2016. Moving now to slide 7. On this slide, we can see some of our financial liquidity ratios. The metrics of this slide show, among other things, that the total debt in the third quarter was at a similar level to the comparative period, with little variation of 1%. Other liquidity ratios remain strong. There was a reduction of cash due to the investment made to buy the 6 tugboats that were previously in leasing contracts in the state of Pará, Brazil. This explains the fact that almost 59% of CapEx in the first 9 months of 2016 were in the business of towage. Operating cash flow was $74.6 million, and although it was lower than the previous quarter, we see this result as positive due to our economic context. Moving now to slide 8. On this slide, we outline some prospects for the market. I am highlighting here prospects for container terminals, towage, and the oil and gas industry. I'd like to start off reminding you that in the case of container terminals, although there are some challenges due to the consolidation of ship owners with increasing consignations, they respond quicker than other operations which have a longer lead time. Therefore, in this case, specifically container terminals, the expectation for 2017 is marginally positive, and this is mainly due to factors such as containerization of new cargoes, the growth of cabotage, and opening of trade to new markets. These are trends we have been observing. In the case of towage, the market has been finding some changes with the entry of new operators in the Brazilian market and, again, the consolidation of ship owners. Despite this, based on our competitive advantages, we believe that the perspectives for the coming years are good, with the possibility of growth in the movement of operated volumes and also in new operations. Finally, to speak a bit about the oil and gas industry, despite the difficulties faced by the market over the past 2 years and the consequent impact on companies working in its production chain, the perspectives for the medium term, in our opinion, are more positive due to the changes in the management of Petrobras and the relevant regulatory adjustments in relation to the exploration and operation of the pre-salt. The opening of exploration of pre-salt to companies other than Petrobras and the recovery of the oil barrel prices will certainly increase the demand for support services to the oil and gas industry. With that being said, though, such measures take some time to translate into effective business growth. So we believe that 2017 will still be a difficult year. Moving to slides 9 and 10 in our presentation. Here, I would like to close by congratulating all the team who have worked on our Ticon Salvador concession renewal. These slides present some of the reasons for this early renewal of the Salvador container terminal and also some details of the phases of the approved project. This investment is key to keep the state of Bahia's terminal facilities competitive. Given the trend of increased ship sizes driving a concentration of shipping line calls in the larger container terminals in Brazil, we have agreed to expand the terminal across 3 phases as outlined on slide 10, with the first phase berth facility expected to be operational during the second half of 2019. The deadlines for the subsequent phases bring us comfort in light of our future volume growth expectations at Ticon Salvador. So this concludes my presentation, and at this time, I would like to invite you to move to the Q&A portion of today's conference call. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A portion of today's conference call. So to ask a question, please press star 1. To remove a question from the queue, please dial star 2. Our first call is from Robin by Cantor Fitzgerald.
Good morning, everybody. Just 2 questions from me, please. The first question on the Salvador concession extension. Again, congratulations. And just relating to slide 9 and the CapEx program, can you give us more details of the profile of that $120 million spend? So when does the CapEx start? And what are the peak years, please? That's the first question. And then secondly, just on the container business and container volumes through the year, could you just remind us how seasonal that traffic is? You know, would we expect to see significantly higher flows in the fourth quarter? Thank you.
Hi, Robin. This is Cesar. About the Salvador CAPEX in the first phase, we have a commitment of building 423 meters in berth, which represent 375 million Brazilian reals. So 257, refers to Brazilian reals based on December 2013. So there would be some monetary correction there from December 2013 until now. This investment is set to begin in 12 months and not before that. But in any case, that means we have practically 3 years to conclude the construction of these 423 meters of berth, which will not begin before 12 months from now. Now, about the containers volumes for the container terminals, we believe that imports will continue to be weak. Exports have been growing. We don't expect major growth for the fourth quarter in comparison to the third quarter. We believe the volumes will be similar.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Andrew Mitchell, Edison.
Thank you very much. Can I just clarify on the answer you gave on Salvador expansion, the 423 meters, is that all three phases or is that simply the first phase? Just clarify that one for me. And the second question I had was relating to the comment you have in the statement about reductions in the structure at logistics, shipyard and Brasco, whether you can flesh out what level of cost reduction and timing on that, please.
Hi, Andrew. This is Cesar Bayol. Now, about the 423-meter berth, this will happen during the first phase. So this is exactly the berth, the 423-meter berth, which will be aligned to our current berth, which will be concluded in the first phase, as well as acquiring 3 FCF, shipping shore to grain. So this is the first phase, which will be the most robust in terms of investments. The second question about the structure in our logistic businesses, the shipyards in Brasco. The restructuring of these three businesses has already started. We had a drastic reduction in the management structure for the shipyard, as well as the number of employees there. It was a very significant reduction, which also took place in logistics and in Brasco. So these are structural reductions that have already taken place and can continue to happen according to how these three business units run.
Could I follow up with two other questions then? Could you indicate when the deadlines for the second two phases for Salvador are? And are you able to give a figure for the level of the cost reductions that you've already made?
Okay, Andrew. The second phase of the expansion project in Salvador should be concluded by 2030. And the third and last phase that has been agreed in the new contract must be concluded by 2034. So there will be a significant reduction in the shipyard structure in Brasco and in logistics, but right now I am unable to provide any details into these figures.
Thank you.
The next question is from Victor Mizusaki, Bradesco BBI. Good morning. I have two questions about your presentation. The first is, how are you working with the financing for these investments? What is the return rate used by the government to close this renewal plan? And also, my other question is about the offshore segment. Can you please tell us about what this market is like? Hi, this is by Mr. Bayon. It will be financed by one of our major financers of port expansions, which have been the XT. They have financed us twice in Rio Grande and in the past sometimes in Salvador. So we will probably analyze some alternatives, and the IFC is one of the major ones. The return rate agreed with the government was 8.3 BRL runoff. This is what we agreed. And about the spot market in offshore, this is currently a very weak market. There are very few businesses in this segment in the spot market. The off-reel 8.3 rate is without any leveraging, okay? Okay. About the FC line, is this in dollars or in Brazilian reals? It's normally in U.S. dollars. Although we have an option of swapping, This was analyzed. Oh, yes, that's it. IFC is the most frequent alternative we have used, but we do have other options that are under analysis. But right now, it would be in dollars. Okay, thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, please dial star 1. Once again, to ask a question, please dial star 1. We have a question here coming from the webcast from Rodrigo Gatti. His question is about the possibility of the company increasing dividend payouts in April because of our strong cash position this year. Our dividend payout policies is currently 50%. So we will continue to use this policy and follow it. But about our cash generation, we are going through a very complicated moment in the economy, so we have to be conservative about our cash position. Also, we have to pay attention to changes in the market to capture any potential opportunities that may arise. So we will continue following our dividend payout policy. Once again, to ask a question, please dial star 1. As there are no further questions, this concludes our Q&A session. We would now like to give the floor to Mr. Selleck for his closing remarks. Very well. I'd like to thank you all for taking part. I hope that our call has been good. And if there is any question, please come into contact with our investor relations department. Thank you and have a nice day. This concludes Wilson Sons conference call. Thank you for participating and have a nice day.